Welcome to the Homeschool Show for North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have as our co-host today, Amanda Wares. Hey, Amanda.
Yes, hi.
What do we got planned today?
All right. So today in homeschool news, we're giving you more information on the Thrive Conference coming up and announcing another great new field trip. Super excited about that. And then on Homeschool Conversations, we're going to listen to the rest of your interview, Matthew, with Larry Cockrum, a homeschool pioneer, and he's going to tell us more about his story and how NCHE got started. And on Homeschool Helps with Amanda, I am going to answer the question, how can I set up my ADHD child for success? Got some personal experience with that. Can't wait to share. All right, so let's get started with homeschool news. For Thrive, our conference that's coming up in May, the vendors are announced today. Super excited. We have a great lineup of vendors this year. I know you're going to want to check that out. Also, just a reminder, the vendor application is still open. So we have a few spots. It'll be just on first come, first serve basis until it fills up completely. So you can go to nche.com/thrive if you are a vendor and you want to be a part of the Thrive Conference. And graduation, that is such a special part of the conference. Mm-hmm. I love the graduation. It is a statewide ceremony. We have graduates from all over that come in. There is a graduate magazine, a special edition where your graduate can be recognized in that. And there's also scholarships, super important. So check that out as well. There's a whole Graduate Central part of the website, and the graduation is on Saturday, May 25th at the end of the Thrive Conference. Mm-hmm. So definitely you want to take advantage of those opportunities. Now, there is a new field trip that is coming up. And I always say this, I'm super excited, but this is a great one as well. It's so good. We are going to the Moorhead Planetarium March 15th in Chapel Hill. It's on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. Registration is limited, so you don't want to miss out on that. And just a reminder that the Transportation Museum field trip is also open. That's coming up March the 8th. So many opportunities. I see a lot of people out on Facebook and different things asking about, are there field trips available? Mm-hmm. Are there groups that go and do these things? And so we want to share those opportunities with you. Go to nche.com/field trips for all that information.
That's right. Those are so exciting. We love providing the opportunity for people to be a part of those. So now as we head into homeschool conversations, I want to wish you happy 40th anniversary to NCHE.
Yes.
And this is really exciting because one of the things we're doing this year, as I've said before, is interviewing the pioneers. These are the people who started homeschooling before it was considered legal. And so the North Carolina Supreme Court made a decision that it was constitutional to homeschool in North Carolina. And so Larry Cockrum is one of these guys who started homeschooling before that decision. And he tells in this interview how he and his family were sitting on the front row in the North Carolina Supreme Court at that hearing. It's pretty amazing to hear it. So, and he's also going to share how NCHE got started. So this is a great segment in my conversation with Larry. So let's check that out. When you were in the middle of all those threats, why did you keep going? What was the conviction or the feeling that you would even risk those kinds of things for homeschooling?
Well, we were deeply convicted that we were responsible for our children. The state was not responsible for our children. And we felt that there was no way that we could put our children back into that atmosphere of the public school. I don't mean to accuse anybody there. I'm sure everyone was doing the best that they knew to do. We just knew we couldn't. And we begun to connect with a few other homeschool families, which was tremendously encouraging to find out there were some other crazy people in North Carolina who were risking their lives to do homeschooling. And we also began to educate ourselves politically. We took our children to Raleigh to the legislature several times and visited our legislators and had them introduced our children to them and told them what we were doing, gave them pieces of our children's artwork and asked them to do what they could to help us. The case for this other couple in our county that had been arrested for homeschooling was going through the courts, and then it ended up in the state Supreme Court. My family and I were there in the Supreme Court hearings on the day of our arguments. We were sitting on the front row, a group of judges way up there on at the bench, and we listened to the oral arguments, and I noticed that the judges were listening to the arguments. They were looking at our children. Well, as all of you know now, the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of homeschoolers, said the law was unconstitutional, unconstitutionally restrictive, vague, and that it was to go back to the legislature. Then the state legislature decided to open up the Department of Public Education. And we met the man that they'd appointed and went to his office and talked with him there in Raleigh. And he said, you're going to be allowed to homeschool legally. But in order to be a school under our program, you're going to have to admit other students besides those in your family. You'll have to have at least one other student outside your family for you to be considered a legitimate school. We went to some friends and asked them about joining us. No, that was a crazy idea for them to take their kids out of public school and put them in. They wouldn't do that. But
right.
Then there was a couple in our church that said, yes, we'd like for our daughter to be educated in your home. So we set up a classroom in our home. We set up regular school desks like they had in the public school. We were told that we would have to have exit signs and fire extinguishers and a bell to ring for fire alarms. And we would have to have fire drills, and we'd have to have our home inspected by state inspectors. And we did all of that. We did everything we could to comply with the law. And they sent a state inspector, just like they sent to the public school. They looked at everything in our house. They looked in the bedrooms, the kitchen, the bathroom, the closets.
Tell me also, when or how did NCHE come to begin in the midst of that? And what was your role in that?
Well, yeah. Well, We found these other families in especially around Winston-Salem and the Triad area, and we have family in Winston-Salem, and so we went up and arranged for meetings with them and many conversations, and decided to do what we could to help other homeschool families, and so we started the organization, the NCHE, and we had someone to draw the graphic for the greenhouse with the rose in it, and adopted the name NCHE. And remember, we had our first state meeting at the first assembly there in Winston-Salem, and just invited whoever we knew, and amazing assembly of people came. We had a book fair, just began simply that way. It was interesting. Some of the people that wanted to be in homeschooling, there was a wide variety of people. I remember we had at least one family who said that they wanted to homeschool their children because the public schools were too religious. They didn't want them taught anything about religious Christianity. They were atheists, and they wanted to homeschool their children to protect their children from Christian influence in the public schools.
So what did they think about teaming up with you guys, doing it for the opposite reason?
Well, we were all desperate. So yeah. All of us felt that way, and we'd been threatened, and we'd had criminal action brought against us, and we just needed each other so much. Then it began to grow just organically. We didn't have any big organization. We didn't have all the electronic communications that we have, but word of mouth, and it went out, and people from mountain towns and from coastal towns and all over North Carolina came to our homeschool meeting and wanted to form the homeschool association. We felt that it would be some help and encouragement and strengthening and maybe some protection for us if we were. It was still unclear how everything was going to fall out legally.
Since you have an opportunity here to speak to some of our homeschoolers today, what would you say to encourage them?
I would like to say to homeschool families, homeschool parents, and especially the mother, if you're the primary teacher of the family, be strong and courageous. And there are many accusations that come against you personally. You're not qualified to do this. You don't have any right to do this. You're not doing a good job. I want to say you're doing a great, heroic job just to be there for your children and to train your children. I would also like to say be diligent and do it every day do the best you can to train and lead your children. You have an opportunity to affect the next generation. So, you know, you're doing a great thing. And I would just encourage you, if you're a homeschool family, also to be in relationship with other homeschool families and strengthen each other. Very early, we did many cooperative things. I'm a scientist. We did laboratories for all the homeschool kids, and we did field trips together. And don't allow this accusation about the socialization. You know, the best socialization children can have is with one another and with their parents and their families and other people who are growing together in training their children.
Well, that's great. That's really, really good encouragement. And we want to thank you, Larry, for you and that generation that started. We came along and had lots of freedom and lots of resources and lots of community, and we are able to enjoy that. And we know, and that's one of the reasons that we're having this talk and this program, is so that the generations now can realize that a lot of hard work, a lot of conviction, a lot of steadfastness was there for those who had to go through that difficult thing. And so we thank you for that.
Well, we also recognize, Matthew, that we have to remain diligent. Things could change legally. And we have to hold on to our rights, and we have to continue to fight for the freedom to educate our children.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So today we are talking about a subject that is super common and also a personal experience of mine, and that is homeschooling kids with ADHD and how do you set them up for success? Now, I will say, so my oldest daughter that I told you last in the last segment We started homeschooling her when she was 9. We pulled her out of school to homeschool. My other 3 children have never been to brick and mortar school. I think we all in our family have some level of ADHD, but the oldest does have diagnosed ADHD. And I feel like looking back, I wish that I had known some of the things I know now to have set her up better for success. So I'm going to just share with you some of the things that I maybe wish I had done or some of the things I think I did right. And hopefully that'll help you, because I know so many parents out there are homeschooling kids with ADHD, whether formally diagnosed or not. And it can be a challenge, but there's so many ways that kids with ADHD homeschooling can really help them thrive and not struggle like they would in a traditional classroom setting. So my first thought on homeschooling a kid with ADHD is structure. Structure is really important for these kids. Something to look forward to, something to work within, a structure. So I am very much not a structured person. So providing structure was really difficult for me, but I think it was really important. So how I did that as a non-structured person, I chose a curriculum that was structured, that sort of provided that schedule, that daily checklist, which really helped. So my children would then know what to look forward to. They would know, okay, first we do this and then we do this and then we have a break for lunch and then we're going to maybe do one more thing. And knowing that, what to expect from day to day, really did help my child with ADHD. Also, we sort of followed loosely a Charlotte Mason approach. And one of Charlotte Mason's principles is short lessons. And I think the idea of short lessons is also really helpful for kids with ADHD. So they're not having to attend or focus for too long. They can know, okay, we really need to focus on this science lesson, but it's only going to last, you know, a little while. Another really important point was providing a physical outlet to get that energy out. It's just so good for the brain. It's so good to help focus, all of that. So whether you are jumping on the trampoline and doing math facts at the same time, or you're outside walking, you know, up and down the sidewalk while you're discussing the history from that day, whatever it is, having a physical outlet, super important. Short lessons, super important. A routine, structure, so important. I definitely don't have all the answers. There's a lot of resources out there for how to help your ADHD child, but these are a couple of easy, kind of simple things that I put in place in our homeschool that really did help. So I really hope that helps today. I hope it encourages you. You can homeschool your child with ADHD successfully and help them thrive. So thank you so much for joining us today. We love to hear your feedback. So if you have any suggestions, you have feedback, questions, please contact us. You can reach us at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. As always, please like, share, subscribe. We want you to get the word out. Share with your friends if you think this is helpful or could give them information that would be encouraging to them. Please share it.
That's right. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.